Turn to Acts chapter 15. And I'm going to preach to you the sermon tonight entitled Romans 8:28. How's that? That's a good title for a sermon, ain't it? And we're not going to read Romans 8:28. I don't think. We might accidentally. Well, but I hadn't planned on reading Romans 8:28. How many of you don't know what Romans 8:28 is? You've heard it quoted time and time and time again. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. And so we are going to preach you a sermon tonight out of Acts chapter 15 that illustrates that verse of Scripture right there. I told you before, and I'll tell you again before we're done, I guess, that these sermons that we're preaching out of the book of Acts is practical application for the church. And these are the ways that the church behaved. These are the things that the church went through to be established. And if we want to be an established church, these are the things that we'll have to emulate. These are the things we'll have to follow after. I was reading in the book of Acts today. I got to the book of Acts in my daily Bible reading. And I read a verse of Scripture today that I liked, and I wanted to touch on that before I get. You can turn to Acts chapter 15. We're going to be in verse 36. But I found a verse of Scripture today in Acts chapter number 4 and verse 31. It said, When they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Boy, I like that verse of Scripture. That's what we need right here at People's Baptist Church. We need to pray, and if we'll get to praying like we ought to pray, the place will be shaken. God, remember I preached to you about them dry bones, and I made some of those CDs and put them back there, but I preached to you about those dry bones. He said, he went out there and he prophesied to those bones, and he said there was a shaking and a coming together. And that's what we need. That's what we need in our churches. We need a shaking. We need God to shake us. We need God to wake us up. And we need to come together. And it says here, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. That's definitely what we need here at People's Baptist Church. We need to get filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to follow the direction of the Holy Spirit. We need a prayer life. Amen. We need a prayer life, and we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And once we get that, once we get to that point, we'll begin to speak the Word of God with boldness. Not just speak the Word of God, and not just have boldness, but speak the Word of God with boldness. Have the whole thing there. That's what I want. I want everything God has to offer me, don't you? Amen. Absolutely. And so I want also God to accept everything that I offer Him. In that case, I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so anyway, I want to talk to you tonight about Acts chapter 15. And there's just a few verses of Scripture here from verse number 36. It only goes to 41, so you know I can't keep you that long. But Acts chapter 15 and verse 36, let's read, and then we'll pray and see what the Lord has for us tonight. It says, Some days after Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with him, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. Heavenly Father, I thank you tonight for your goodness. I thank you for your grace, your mercy. God, I pray you'd help us tonight, God, in these studies on the church, these sermons on the church. I pray you'd help us to become more like a New Testament church, dear God. Help us to get a burden for souls. Help us to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Give Him the preeminence, dear God. Lift up your Son that died on the cross for us, dear God. Help us, dear God. Fill us with your Spirit, dear God. Help us to speak the Word of God with boldness. And God, help us to preach the gospel where the power of God is unto salvation. And God, I'll thank you for what you do. Thank you for what you'll teach us here tonight. Show us, dear God. There may be some contention with some folks here and other folks, dear God, I don't know. But Lord, if so, these things will be covered right here in the Scripture. And we know, dear God, that you do. Take us in every situation. You give us victory. Dear God, you'll work it out for our good, dear God. And it may not feel like the best thing. It may not look like the best thing to us. But as far as you're concerned, your way is the best way for each and every one of us. And God, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your mercy that you've showed to this church, God. I pray you'd help us. Lord, I pray you'd increase us, dear God. Help us with the things we've got our mind and our heart set on. And may it be set on you and stayed on you. And we'll thank you, dear God, for all that you do. God, I read in my Bible today how that you opened that lady's heart. Paul was preaching, and Lord, you opened that lady's heart, dear God, and she took heed, God, and believed. God, I pray you'd open our hearts tonight to the preached word of God, that we would believe, dear God, and follow you where your will takes us. And I'll thank you, dear God, for what you'll do. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Amen. Now look back in verse number 36. He says, some days after Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. Now Paul here, I'm going to go ahead and take for granted that he's following the leadership of the Lord when he does this. I'm going to go ahead and take that for granted. You say, why? Because it's a part of the Scripture. We're going to read here in a little bit about maintaining good works. And we're going to get into that a little bit later. But I'm just going to start with the premise that Paul was following the leadership of the Lord. And one thing I can't say enough of as far as the church goes is you can't never get away from the leadership of the Lord. If you start off with the leadership of the Lord and you go so far and then you drop the leadership of the Lord and go your own way, it's going to fail. It's going to be a hard road there. But anyway, he says here, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city. And visit our brethren in every city. It says, well, we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought it not good. Uh-oh, a difference of opinion. Boy, have you ever been in a church where there was a difference of opinion? Oh my goodness. And it's tore up more churches than it's helped, I promise you that. But I'm preaching to you about Romans 8:28 tonight and show you how God can take a difference of opinion if men will let Him. And God will take a difference of opinion. He'll use it for His good. It is a possibility, you know. Every man that puts on a pair of pants and every woman that puts on a dress, they're not going to think alike. And they're not going to act alike. And they're not going to be spiritual alike. And they're not going to be carnal alike. They're going to have good things. They're going to have bad things in their lives. But they're not going to be the same. They never are. They never are. They never are going to agree 100% on everything. Can we go ahead and just agree to that? We can agree to that, can't we? A lot of people sit right here in this church, I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that. And you know that after a while because they don't come back. That's the way that works. Wonder what happened to so-and-so. Well, you can bet your bottom dollar there was probably something in the preaching or in the singing or something didn't suit their fancy. And it got to them. It got the best of them. And that kind of thing is going to happen. It don't make any difference who it is. These are some of the best men that's ever been in the church. Paul and Barnabas. Amen. They're not immune. Not immune. It says, some days after Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. Now, who said to Barnabas? Paul did. Paul said, let's do it. Let me go ahead and say right this far, in order to avoid all the trouble that was brought up in these verses right here, Barnabas should have just listened to Paul. That would have solved a lot of the problem right there. Paul was God's chosen apostle to the Gentiles. Paul had the idea. Paul said, let's go do this. Let's go visit these churches and let's see how they do. Barnabas should have just said, okay, let's go. That would have solved the problem, wouldn't it? Yes. If Barnabas wanted to do something else after he got back, Paul let him out of the Cadillac and he'd have strolled on over and said, now let's go do this. And took Mark with him and done something else. You know it's a free country. Amen. You can do whatever you want to do. But there's no use in fighting over things. You see what you understand what I'm getting at? If somebody says, hey, let's go visit over towards Browntown today, and you say, oh no, I think we ought to visit in Homeland. Well, do both. Don't get upset. You see what I mean? Paul says, hey, let's go visit over here. And Barnabas said, I think we ought to do it this way. Well, I think he should have just listened to God's man. Now, don't get quiet on me. Don't get quiet on me now. You say Barnabas was God's man too. Sure he was. But God led Paul to do this thing. I'm assuming now. Now, this verse of Scripture right here has been argued over as long as they've been the Scripture. But I'm assuming God led Paul to do it. I'm assuming God led Paul to tell Barnabas, hey, come with me. Had Paul not said nothing about it, Barnabas and Paul probably still be at Antioch to this day doing whatever they're doing. But you see what I mean? Somebody comes up with the leadership of the Lord, and somebody brings it out and says, let's do this, or let's get on the ball with this, and 50 other people got an idea how to do it better. Amen. Hadn't you seen that tear up church after church after church after church after church? The best way to do is follow the leadership of the Lord. The best way to do is to follow the leadership of the Lord and who God sends to be the leader. You say you're trying to set up yourself, Brother Mike? No, I'm not trying to set up myself. I'm trying to set up how it should be in every church. I'm talking about the church across the street. I'm talking about the church down the road. I'm talking about all of them. Yes. We desperately need in our day and time some folks who will get behind the leadership of the church and say, let's do it. Let's go. Let's go on visitation on Saturday morning at such and such o'clock. Yes, let's do it. That's what we need. Well, preacher, you know, we've tried that before and we've always done it this way. And you've always failed too. Is that the truth or ain't it? Now, that's hard to hear when everybody's independent-minded. Independent. Well, you can't get independent of the Holy Ghost. You can't get into independent of the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for you. And He said, go out in the highways and hedges. He just meant go. That's all He meant to do. But, let's go with the King James Bible. Well, you know, I think we ought to try these new versions. And after all, these guys have been to college and they've learned a few things and we ought to listen to what they got to say. No, we ought to stop our ears with cotton. The Bible says every word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Boy, it's a heavy atmosphere in here tonight. I don't know what it is. Ain't nobody whooping you with a cat of nine tails. We're just preaching about what the church is supposed to be like. You see, everybody I've ever heard talk about this verse of Scripture kind of got wishy-washy. Well, Paul had a point, and Barnabas had a point, and everybody's got a point. Opinions like elbows. Everybody got one or two. And they rarely ever washed. When's the last time you washed your elbows? You can't even see back there, can you? Everybody got an opinion about how it should be done. But we're not about opinions. We're about the Word of God. We're about the Word of God. Now, this is a good idea Paul had here. Look what he says in Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. I feel a heaviness here tonight. I don't know what it is, but maybe we'll preach it out of here before it's over with. Titus chapter number 3. Titus chapter number 3 and verse 14. I started to read that. That's Philemon. Titus chapter 3 and verse 14, it says, let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. Anybody ever worked in maintenance? Maintenance. Everything needs maintenance. And you buy a sewing machine, it needs maintenance. How many of you ladies got a sewing machine? You got to get it worked on every once in a while. You got to get it calibrated once in a while. That thing gets a little bit off, and there's a mechanism underneath that little pedestal where the cloth goes across, and those things got a technical name. They're called feed dogs. And that thing will come up and it'll grab that material and push it through. If that thing gets out of alignment and there's a needle under there that comes back and forth you never see, And if that thing gets off, it'll miss those stitches and it won't sew worth nothing. You say, what does it need? It needs maintenance. Any kind of machine you buy needs maintenance. You buy a car, it's got a motor in it, guess what? You have to change the oil once in a while. Rotate the tires and keep the air pressure straight. It's maintenance. Guess what? Your body needs maintenance every once in a while. If not, it'll fall apart faster than it did. Thank God we heard the good news about Miss McCall's mother. She had some maintenance the other day, and they did a good job, I hear. Praise God. Praise God. Sometimes it takes a lot of maintenance, and sometimes it takes a little bit of maintenance. But Paul, when he got the idea here to go back and check on these churches and to make sure they were established, he was talking about maintaining good works. Maintaining good works. And that's one thing we ought to do in the church. When God gives us a task to do, when God gives us a job to do, we ought to maintain it. We ought not let slip the preaching of the gospel. A lot of times church will get going, they'll preach the gospel, preach the gospel, preach the gospel. They'll get up to a certain size, they'll start preaching the gospel of the bank account. The bank account, the bank account, the bank account, the bank account. Well, God didn't send us. He sent us to preach the gospel. You've got to make sure you maintain those things. Maintain the things that you've earned, the things that you've put your hands forth to do. Your Bible said you put your hand to the plow, you don't look back. You start out well. Paul said to those Galatians, he said, you did run well. Who hath hindered you? Somebody hindered those Galatians from keeping their eyes on the plain, pure, and simple gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They started adding other things until they got off track. The job of the church is to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and to magnify and lift up the Lord Jesus Christ and His doctrines. That's the job of the church. The primary job of the church is not to feed the poor. The Lord will bless you if you feed the poor. If you give to the poor, if you take care of the needy, God will bless you. That's been a principle since Genesis chapter number 5. That's been a principle in the Bible. But it's not the primary role of the church. The primary role of the church is to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we hadn't maintained those good works. We hadn't maintained those things. Therefore, we've slipped off, and the church in some areas has become a social club, and the other places it's become a prestige club. Amen. You know the difference, right? You know, in some places they only exist to help their fellow man. Well, the best way you help the fellow man is to preach the gospel. Amen. Yeah. Amen. And in some places, you know, you go there and you join that specific church so you can have standing in the community. Be looked well upon. No, sir. That's not what the church is here for. That's not what the church is here for. And so that's Paul's idea here, you see. And he says, we're going to go and we're going to see how these churches do. Now, let me give you the dilemma here. Barnabas says, let's take Mark with us. And Paul says, no, let's don't take him with us because we took him with us before and he quit on us. He didn't go all the way with us. He didn't finish the work with us. So, let's just leave him here this time. Now, this is a continuing dilemma to this day. Do you serve God by word, by merit, or do you serve God by grace? Now, the roughest part of the sermon's already over. Y'all can lighten up. The part about sticking with the man that had the idea, that part's over with. That part's over with. You can relax now. We're going to talk about the real dilemma now. The real dilemma is Mark worthy to serve the Lord because he finished the job the first time? Or is he worthy to go and work with Paul and Barnabas by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, you can argue about that till the cows come on. We can sit here and argue about that. And you can say the Bible says this, and then I can say the Bible says that, and you can say the Bible says this. We could argue about it till the cows come home. About whether or not Mark's qualified. Qualified by grace or qualified by his works? Couldn't we do that? Well, I don't think if he don't read his Bible 40 hours a day, you know, he can't go. Well, God died because he knew we were all sinners. That's two opposing viewpoints there. Now let's give you two Bible viewpoints. Look what it says in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Keep your place there. I hope you're in the mood for a Sunday school class this morning. I'm trying to make it exciting as possible, but you'll just have to bear with the teaching tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 1 and 2. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now we're looking at one side of the issue. We're looking at Paul's side. Paul said, Mark didn't go with us, therefore let's don't take him with us again. He went with us a little ways and then he quit, so let's don't take him. Now we're looking at Paul's side of the question, you see. And look what he says. The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Now, flip back to Ephesians chapter 4. And keep in mind, we talked about, out of that verse of Scripture, we talked about faithful men. Commit these things to faithful men. You see what Paul was saying over in the book of Acts is, Mark was unfaithful. We took him with us the first time and he quit on us. Therefore, he's not faithful, so we don't need to take him this time. And then Barnabas disagreed with him. So Paul says in 2 Timothy, he says, now, you commit it to faithful men who can teach others also. Now look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. He says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called, with all lowliness and meekness and with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love. So we can say, see there, he says, walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. And we can say, hey, if you don't walk worthy, you'll lose your vocation. Couldn't we say that? I mean, ain't that what the Scripture said? It said, walk worthy. It says, commit it to faithful men. Ain't that what it says? Now, let's look in Romans 15. Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. Verse number 1. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. Ought to bear them. Ought to put up with them. Like the idea is you say, I can't bear you. I can't bear you, Brother Nathan. You're always, you know, that's the idea. Didn't mean nothing personal. I'm just using your name as an illustration. But don't you know somebody you can't bear? I can't bear that guy. He talks all the time. I can't bear that guy. See what I'm saying? But look what it says. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. It also gives the idea if somebody needs help, you pick them up. Well, the argument could be made, couldn't it, about old Mark that he just wasn't strong enough to make it the first go around. You ever started to work for the Lord and just didn't have the strength to finish it? Listen, it takes dogged determination to live for the Lord. You can start to do a good work and become so overwhelmed that you just can't hardly make it. I told these boys on the Monday night, I said, if we try to start this church, the devil's going to attack you right away. Monday, my youngin got sick by Monday night. I mean, by Tuesday morning, my youngin got sick. By Tuesday night, I was so sick I couldn't stand it. I've been in the bed for the last 2 days, all day. I tried to get up and move a little bit last night and shake off the cobwebs, and it was devastating. Out of the blue. Just something like that. You say, what's that about? That's to knock you down. You say, why? Because I'm weak. The flesh is weak. The flesh is weak. So it says here, we then that are strong ought to... So I've got two verses of Scripture I already read you that said, you got to be faithful. You got to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. When you're going to pass on the ministry, you pass it on to somebody. And then I've got a verse of Scripture over here that says, bear the infirmities of the weak. Let me show you another one. Galatians chapter 6. The outcome of this sermon, by the way, is when we get done, you'll never be high-minded again. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Look what it says. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, like going on the gospel work and then quitting, would that be a fault? Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, that's what we need, some spiritual folks. You know, Paul was spiritual to say, hey, let's go check on these churches. But at the same time, Barnabas was also spiritual to say, hey, let's give Mark another chance. Boy, this is going to get better and better as it goes. I promise you that. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in the fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. Restore such a one. Restore such a one. You know what restoration means? It means put back exactly like it was to begin with.
Amen.
It's not just forgiveness. It's restoration. Brother Henry, did you know when you got saved, you didn't just get forgiven? You got restored. You got redeemed. Praise God. The work on the cross went far beyond your birth. The work on the cross went all the way back to Adam and cleaned up the whole mess. The whole mess.
Thank God.
Thank God indeed. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. The folks that are not spiritual won't restore. Folks that are not spiritual will never forgive you another. Oh, I remember. He made that mistake right there. I'll never trust him again. Paul, you know what that tells me? Though Paul was an apostle to the Gentiles, though God entrusted him with every word of doctrine that that pertains to the church, he was still just a man. He had blood flowing in his veins, just like you and I, wrapped in flesh, just like you and I. He was proud, just like you and I. And so was Barnabas. So was Barnabas. But look what he says here. Ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. You start getting high-minded and begin to cast judgment on everybody else, you're fixing to experience some of the same stuff. It's going to come back around. It's going to get you. It's going to get you. Bear ye one another's burdens. You know the other verse we read talked about bearing with folks and bearing one another's infirmities and problems and stuff. Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So we look back in Acts chapter 15. We ask the age-old question, which one was right, Paul or Barnabas? The answer is both of them. Both of them. Back in Acts chapter 15, look at verse number 37. Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them to Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. And the contention, there it is. The Bible says, only by pride cometh contention. You know what the chief problem in this passage of Scripture is? Nobody asked God.
Yeah.
Paul got the idea and said, let's go confirm these churches. Barnabas piped up and said, well, let's take Mark with us. Right there, they should have said, okay, let's pray about it. Because in the back of Paul's mind, I'm thinking, he's thinking, well, he's an unfaithful man. In the back of Barnabas' mind, he's thinking, if we're spiritual, we ought to restore this guy in the spirit of meekness, considering ourselves. And these guys are both right with God. Both of these guys are in the will of God. Both of them's working for God, but they both got different things rattling around in their head, and they get contentious one towards another, and it breaks them up. They're a team. Paul and Barnabas is a team. Paul and Barnabas gets the job done. I mean, they preach the gospel and things take place. And they're both right with God, and they both have right ideas about this situation. And the Bible says in verse 39, the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. That's amazing to me. A lot of things in the Bible take place like this. One place I hear people, I always hear people argue with the Word of God when they don't consider the Holy Spirit in the equation. In Acts chapter 1, Peter says, hey, Judas fell from his office. He said, we've got to replace. We've got to replace him. He said, it's according to the Scripture. We've got to replace him. And look what he said. Turn back to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1 says in verse 15, we'll skip through this real quick, but he says, look here. In those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Now skip down to verse 20. It says, for it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, let no man dwell therein, let his bishopric and his bishopric let another take. Now that's what Peter's trying to get done here. He's trying to replace Judas. Wherefore, look at verse 21. Wherefore of these men which have comforted with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto the same day that that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. And they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabas, who was surnamed Justice. I always said he didn't get chosen. He had too many names. People have enough time remembering one fellow's name if he's got one name. This fellow had three. So that was working against him. But he said they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabas, whose surname was Justice, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Now, I couldn't tell you how many preachers I've heard say that was an illegitimate apostle because they cast lots on it. That's foolishness. If the lot would have fell on the other fellow, that would have been right. If the lot fell on Matthias, you say, is that right? Sure it was.
Amen.
Sure it was. Absolutely. Absolutely it was. Because the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 18, it says the lot causeth contentions to cease. And the Bible also says in Proverbs chapter 16, it says that the Lord decides where the lot falls. Read it for yourself. If they would have chose Justice, it would have been right. You say, how could that be, Brother Mike? They was both qualified. They read you the qualification. He had to have been there from the time that John baptized until the time that Jesus ascended back to heaven. That's the qualification. Both men met the qualification. They could have flipped it in the air the best 5 out of 7. And whoever it landed on would have been right. They were both qualified. Hey, don't argue with the Bible. Never argue with the Bible. Believe the Bible and God will show you the way to work it out. Now, people go back there and argue about that. Thing in the Proverbs where those verses I just gave you about God, the lot causing, you know, strife to cease and contentions to cease. And you know, people can argue about that stuff all they want to, but God used it right there. Sure. How'd they find out who Jonah was? Did it work or didn't it? That's because God said he's in control of it. Absolutely. Now the Bible says the just shall live by faith. You're going to live by faith. You certainly are. But when they chose these apostles, they cast lots. And they got the right one. Whoever they would have got that qualified been the right one. Absolutely. So what's your point, Brother Mike? I'll show you. Turn back to Acts chapter 15. Both of these men are right with God. Both of these men have the right idea. One of them's about restoring Mark, and one of them's about getting faithful men. Neither one of those ideas are bad. I'm for finding faithful men, Brother Pedro. I'll just be honest with you. I'm sick and tired of hearing about these guys. They start off King James. They start off preaching the gospel. They start off, when they get to a certain point, they find it's easier to do it another way. And so they compromise and they bring in the bad music and they bring in another Bible. And pretty soon their church fills up and stuff, but they did it the wrong way. I'm for faithfulness. I'm for faithfulness. But one thing you know about Mark, he's there ready to go to work. He's not running off down to Rome. He's not running off over to these other places, he's right there with Barnabas, ready to go. Barnabas said, look, here's Mark. On the one hand, Paul's saying, we've got to get faithful men, not these guys that quit every 5 minutes. And that's the way we tend to think a lot of times. Us independent Baptist folk, we think, whoa, he ain't done it like I've done it, so therefore I ain't having nothing to do with that guy. Well, he might just be weak. You better pray about it a little while. You better ask God about it a little while. Don't just count people out because they've messed up a time or two. Don't do it, because God didn't count you out when you messed up. Your mess up might not have been as bad as the other fellows, but you have still messed up. And God has still had mercy on you. Now, I'm not telling you to compromise and allow bad stuff. There are things in the Bible that you have to put. I mean, if a guy causes division, but this guy we're talking about didn't cause division. He didn't preach a heretical doctrine. He wasn't teaching nothing like that. In those cases, the Bible says to separate. But there's a lot of people out here that believe just like we do and think just like we do. They may be on the grace side and we may be on the super spiritual side. They may be living by grace and we may be trying to live the letter of the law and do things just like the Bible says. Both ways are right, but both ways are going to have to be considerate of one another. That's why in the old days they burnt folks at the stake. Because they didn't have no tolerance for people that wasn't that much different than them. They went through the Reformation, the Catholic folks, burning people at the stake. Well, after the Reformation took place, and Martin Luther began to minister, and then here comes this John Calvin fella. He begins to minister a little bit, and he starts thinking, well, they're not doing it right, and he don't think this is right, and he don't think that's right. Next thing you know, old John Calvin, living down there in Switzerland, is burning people at the stake. He fell right back into the old trap by not considering you have to do things faithfully. You must do things right. But when your brother falls, don't trample on him. Don't use him as a floor mat. Don't use him as a new carpet. Pick him up and help him. Both of them are right. I said, Brother Mike, where does Romans 8:28 come into the picture? Now instead of one good team, they got two. They got Paul and Silas, which turned out to be a real good partnership. Paul and Silas. And you got Barnabas and you got Mark. And they made it. You get over to the end of Paul's life and he says, bring Mark to me. But he didn't stop there. He gave the reason. He said, because he's profitable to me for the ministry. Paul come around, didn't he? A man of God, a woman of God, is always going to come around to the right way of thinking. If you give them enough time, pray for them enough, and if they stay in the book, they'll come around. They'll come around. I don't have no doubt in my mind that every time Paul messed up from that day forward, God said, looking like Mark. Paul comes short one day and the Lord said, okay, Mark, let's get it in gear now. You ever talk bad about somebody? God might call you by their name one of these days. Paul said, bring Mark with you because he's profitable to me for the ministry. I find that just about the time you begin to criticize somebody, God will make you move from your side of the church right over there next to them, make you love them, make you put your arm around them, make you give them money, make you take care of them. I mean, make you just love them up. Either that or you'll get out of the will of God. You're going to do things God's way. And if God lets a dissension or God lets a little strife come between you, if God allows it, He's going to allow it for His good and for your good and for the good of the ministry. For the good of the ministry. That's first and foremost. God forbid. Listen, I'm not looking for no suffering. I'm not looking for no tribulation or no persecution. But God allowed Paul to suffer. And it was for the good of the ministry. As far as I know, Barnabas, Silas, and Mark lived healthy lives. I don't know what became of them. There's a lot of traditions about how this one died and this one died. I don't know nothing. I know what the Bible says. That's all I know. That's all I know. That's all I can teach for fact and for doctrine. We can dig up some tradition, but we can't trust in that. We can't rely on that. I know at the end of Mark's life, he was profitable. At the end of Paul's life, he was in prison. Did you know Paul didn't have to go to prison? Paul was preaching all through the book of Acts, and every once in a while he'd come to a town, and along would come some prophet and say, he'd tie his own hands up and say, this is what's going to happen to you when you go to Jerusalem. You think God done that just for kicks? No, sir. The message was, don't go to Jerusalem. He said, oh, y'all breaking my heart. Y'all make me to weep. He said, but none of these things move me. I'm going to Jerusalem. Well, because he went there, he ended up in prison. You say, what's that the fruit of, Brother Mike? I've got a sneaking suspicion that it goes right back to Mark and Barnabas and Silas. Listen, if you're going to take everybody in the world and you're going to hold them to the letter of the law, and Paul was a sharp and a shrewd character. He knew what God's will was and he stuck to it. He even taught us a lot of things about being graceful with other folks, didn't he? But I've got an idea that if you, the Bible says with what measure you meet, it'll be measured to you again. I've got an idea if you go through life holding everybody to the letter of the law and holding them right up to your conviction, I've got an idea that God is going to hold you more accountable. If you hold other folks more accountable, God's going to hold you more accountable. So Paul lived the life buffeted by the devil. Paul lived the life. He didn't obey what God told him to do by those prophets and staying away from Jerusalem, so he ended up paying the price.
Right.
You say, what are you trying to say, Brother Mike? I'm saying have mercy on folks. Have pity on folks. When you see folks messing up, get down on your face and pray for them. It may be that prayer of mercy that you give out for somebody else, God will see that and recognize it when you get yourself in trouble. When you go astray, God liable to look down at you and say, oh, he had mercy on that other fellow. Let me have a little mercy on him. I'll tell you what, I do not want to pay the full measure of what I deserve in this life. No, sir. No, sir. It's high time that we realize that some of us are strong and we can live a good Christian life. Other people have not fed. They've not fed on the milk. They've not fed on the meat. And they are not strong enough to live the life you live because they haven't been brought along like you have. They haven't ate of the Word of God like you have. They haven't tasted of the Lord Jesus Christ like you have. And they're not that strong. It's your job to bear their infirmities and bring them along. It's your job to help them up. You cast stones, though. Can you imagine when they brought that woman to Jesus and put her in the midst there and said, and when Jesus said, let him that's without sin cast the first stone, can you imagine what would have happened to the fella who would have picked up a stone and cast it at that woman? I believe the lightning bolts of heaven would have hit them. I believe that. The Lord says, neither do I condemn you. But go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. I bet that woman lived a careful life after that, don't you? I bet she did. We ought to realize the goodness of the Bible says the goodness of God. The goodness of God leadeth us to repentance. How could the goodness of God lead us to repentance except for that we look at how good God has been to us and the things that He is. You know, the Bible says you reap what you sow. I guarantee you there's things in your life that God allowed to come to crop failure. You look at those things and see how good God's been to you. You say, my goodness, God, give me a better heart and a right heart. But the minute you begin to be lifted up with pride and say, now you live up to my great standard, you're going to be in trouble. The Bible talks about a master calling in his servant and said, you owe me a lot of money. And he said, oh, I can't pay. And he said that his Lord straightway forgave him all that he owed. And the first thing that man done was to go out and to find everybody that owed him and said, pay it! Pay me now! That fellow didn't end up in good shape. The Lord told you in regards to the gospel, He said, freely you've received, freely give. Have mercy on folks. Have mercy on one another. folks are either struggling Christians or they're on their way to hell. Let's keep it in mind. Let's pray for one another. Romans 8:28. Well, if I have mercy on this guy, the Lord will see it. Well, if I have mercy on this guy, then principles will be let down and I won't be able to uphold my high standards. God will see it and God will take care of it. We need to get back to the point where we allow God to work, where we allow God to do great things. God is still able, you know. God is still able to take care of details, you know. He certainly is. He certainly is. Here's a man, he had a good idea. Here's another man, he wanted to do it his way. They both had right ideas and right principles behind what they said. It was a terrible thing. Only by pride come the contention. Tore apart a good team. But God in his greatness and God in his goodness still used both of those fellows, both of those teams to go out and do great things. God can take the very worst that we can, the very most that we could tear a thing up, the as good as we are at tearing things up, God can take our message and undo it and unfold it and unmess it and use it for His honor and glory.
Amen.
If we let Him.
Right.
If we let Him. I want to let Him, don't you?
Amen.
Brother Pedro, you pray and dismiss us tonight.